So the learning today should be a schus ila nishmas adir chaver chaim alaza ben shimshin aryeh shall be a schus for shlema chaim aisha shua b'malka chaim da ben minarachol chanalei b'ashen da rachol and abadati ben peril, as well as a schus for all those in the makam sakon in Eretz Yisrael, including Israel Baruch ben Penina and Daniel Shlama ben Rustaka. So we continue now in the topic of bizayon. Now we talked yesterday about how a person should view when you are insulted, when you are disgraced, instead of being upset, you should actually celebrate and be happy that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you an opportunity to get a kapara for averus in a way that has no lasting impact. There's no physical impact. There's no monetary impact. It simply hurts your ego for a few moments, and then everyone forgets about it. So he continues now on page 250. Ba'al achas kama v'kama. He says, certainly, tzarech lizoyer shel aliyos kafoy toiva. You have to be very careful not to be ungrateful. B'shaloy levavazois la'adam shekibel ana mimenu. And not to belittle someone who you benefited from him. Even if it was a very small, insignificant benefit. So even if all the guy did was he brought the, let's say he served by Chabura. Now he served by Chabura, he didn't serve specifically for you. He brought up the food from the basement for the entire shul. And maybe he even only brought it up for himself. But still, you benefited in some minor way. You should have be grateful to that person and don't be a kafir type. Says, first of all, go and look at what the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Nun Amud Beis tells us about a person's the isser of a person to disrespect food. How a person has to be super careful with food, obviously, even though food is not a living being. The Gemara in Bava Kama, this is on Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Beis, says don't throw a fistful of earth into a well that you drink from. Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalem, the famous example is from Moshe Rabbeinu, that Lohiko Esayar, he didn't hit the Nile River for Dam and Svardeya, Lefisha Nitzelboy, because it saved it. Dichsev Atosim Basofas Vasiyar, that he was placed in a basket at the bank of the river. And similarly, V'chein Lohiko Es Afar Aretz, he didn't hit the ground for Kinim, Fisha Hanenet Boisha Taman Boisha Mitzvi, that the ground helped him hide the body of the mitzvah that he killed. Now, these didn't intend to help him. It's not like the ground suddenly showed up and Moshe was like looking for a place to hide and the ground came along and said, Moshe, I got this one for you. The ground was there already anyway. The water was there anyway. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu still had to go out of his way not to perform those makas in order that it should be, he should not be seen as a kafir taif. He says, "Kol sheken kavachaim la'adam she'etivima bekavana mechavenes." Certainly, if someone helped you and a specific intent where someone had you in mind and helped you out, that you have to be a guard, basically, that love for that person and make sure it's everlasting. Va'af im chaver yakenu, even if your friend hits you, yihu yishmaris ruchai, you should basically keep your wits about you. Don't get aggravated. And continue to follow what your obligations are. But you shouldn't say, oh, Kasha, you know what? I'm going to treat him the way he's treating me. And I'm going to answer people who humiliate me, because if that's your response, then you are going to end up being either Isurim, either Isur of Laisikim or the Isur of Laisitar. And the fact that your friend misbehaved towards you does not release you from these two lavin. He also will lose a great amount by reacting with anger. Lachin, therefore, yaseh badad. He should sit alone. V'yidoim silently. As the pasuk says, he will get a great reward for this. In other words, the fact that he is not acting out towards that person in a similar way that he was treated, he's going to receive a great reward. But lo izu shayida. Now, he wants to clarify something. So, you know, this is always a balancing act that a person has to weigh. You don't want to be a shmata. Being a shmata is not an appropriate way to live either. So what we're saying now is, well, every time someone slaps you across the face, you should smile at the guy and say thank you. So that means that you should just take it. Whatever anyone does to take advantage of you, you should just sit there and smile and take it. She says, "V'lo yizu shigidim." He says, what I'm telling you is not that you remain silent. If someone's taking advantage of you, if someone is berating you, you can speak out against that person, not against that person. Speak out towards that person, asking them to stop or asking them to, you know, do it privately. Don't do it barabim. Whatever the circumstances are, you don't have to be quiet, but Ella, but the point is, how are you feeling inside? This is something that we talked about when we talked about disciplining children. And actually, I think the next topic is actually going to be a son and then a daughter. And I don't know if he's going to bring this up again. But basically, when you discipline a child, the proper way to discipline a child is not when you're angry. The proper way to discipline your child is inside you're calm, and on the outside you appear angry, but inside you're calm. If you're inside you're angry, then you're actually either an isser when you hit your child that way, because you're not doing it for chinuch purposes. And so he's saying here that even though you're reacting and you're telling the person, please stop, but inside you're not aggravated. That's what he's saying. It doesn't bother you inside. But now, and you view yourself like dust, and it doesn't matter to you whether how people treat you, whether they honor you, they shame you. Inside, it doesn't affect you. This is the true attribute of being a balanced person. He says, praiseworthy is someone who can actually achieve this midah. There is no greater midah than this. In other words, when a person comes to realize that everything that happens is the Ratzon Hashem, and nothing matters besides for the Ratzon Hashem, and all I'm here to do is to fulfill that mission of serving Hashem, so then it doesn't matter what happens. It's all good happens, bad happens, things I like, things I don't like, someone praises me, someone berates me. It's all meaningless in terms of what is my obligation, why am I here? And so that's why he's saying that's the greatest realization that a person can have, is that nothing else matters besides God. Kvar Sipru, and here's, he's going to end off today with a story, interesting story about one of the Hasidim. Again, Hasidim here means older people. Before Hasidus means people who worked very hard on their character. He says, Kvar Sipru al echad min Hasidim, a well-known story is told about a Hasid, Sheshelu be'eze yomi yamav, that at the end of his life, they asked him to reflect back on his life. He said, which day in your life, that you had the greatest pleasure, the greatest enjoyment on that day? The Heshev, and he answered, that it's not going to be anything related to physical pleasure. Why? Everything is worthless. So just because I had a great day where I had this physical pleasure and that physical pleasure back to back to back to back, but at the end of the day, it's gone, and so therefore it's worthless. So I'm not going to name any of the physical pleasures. So maybe you'll tell me, oh, you know what it was? It's the day you won the lottery. Or it's the day that this great thing happened for you. But you're going to say, yeah, but you, I don't know. Maybe that was really something that's bad. Maybe things that occurred to me that I thought were good were really bad. And things that occurred to me that were bad were really good. So I can't judge on which one of the events that happened to me was good. He says, if I'm going to celebrate anything, it has to be something that was spiritually rewarding. And he told a story where he had the greatest spiritual enjoyment. And let's see what the story was. Very unusual story. He says, one time I had to travel in the boat, and I didn't have money to travel in first class. So I traveled in the holds of the boat together with the cargo. And, you know, wasn't very comfortable. I was laying down there. And obviously in first class, you had all the expensive people. Now, where did they go to the bathroom? They went down to the hold. That's where they went to the bathroom. So, you know, first class is clean. And if you need to use the bathroom, you go down to the third class where this guy was staying. So one guy goes down to the hold where he is, and he wants to relieve himself. He sees this tzaddik, he was disgusted by him. This Jewish person, he was very turned off, and it was shameful. In other words, the guy was so arrogant that he thought this worthless Jew is here. So actually, he was not embarrassed. He peed in the guy's face, is basically what he did. Because he was so disgusted, and he looked at the guy as so worthless, this Jew, this lowly Jew, that he urinated in the guy's face. When the chassid saw that he had achieved this midas hanishtavan of being balanced, actually hippiklal, where the guy urinating in his face did not even bother him, didn't upset him at all, and this was a major test. Oh, samach liboy, then his heart rejoiced. V'yogel kevoidai, and his soul was celebrating. Al toiva gedoyla kazusha kana b'nafshay. You want to know what he celebrated? He celebrated a spiritual accomplishment. And that's what he was saying. When he realized, when he had a test and he realized how he had mastered this midah, this was the ultimate test, and it didn't bother him. So that was a celebration. And at the end of his life, he recalled that incident was what he is going to sort of take to his grave as the ultimate and the pinnacle of his achievements during his lifetime. Was what? Was not winning the lottery, was not a day when everything was going well, was not any pleasure that he received, was not even something good because maybe it was really bad, but was a spiritual accomplishment. And that's what he looked back on when he realized that he had achieved this midah. Now, when you look at that, if it would be any of us, that definitely would not be in our top 10. When someone would berate and disgrace us, peeing in our face, it would be disgusting. We would forget about how we would react, but looking back on it, we wouldn't look back on it favorably. And yet this guy was able to achieve a level where he turned it around, flipped it on its head. And that was the defining moment in his life. And I do think this is a very important lesson to us, because when we look back after 120, if you're going to poll us before we get upstairs and you're going to say, well, what do you think? You know, you're coming to God, right? So my Rebbe used to say, Rabbi Hachberg, Alav HaShalom, used to say, you're going to have 40 days to say over all your Torah. And he said, I wonder how many days we're going to last. He used to say, I wonder if we're going to go for all 40 days, we're going to run out of things to say. But similarly, you're going to come with your paper, with your tzetel, of all your accomplishments. You're going to say, God, this is my accomplishments. I finished Shas. I was a great husband. You know, I gave tzedakah this one time. I gave this guy needed a ride, and I drove him all the way, an hour out of the way. You know, all the accomplishments we're gonna want to pile up there. We're gonna miss probably the real top 10, the real instances in our life that God is going to look at and say those are the real achievements, because we're gonna be focusing on how it made us feel, instead of focusing independently on what was an actual spiritual accomplishment. So it might be something that we totally forgot about in our lifetime, and yet that is the greatest spiritual accomplishment in our lives. Why? Because that was the mission that God put us on this world for. So it does a little bit put into perspective, not to disregard small, very small accomplishments, small things that we go about in our daily lives, because you never know when you come up to Shemayim that might be the defining achievement. And you see here, this guy, someone peed in his face, and that was his spiritual achievement. But again, because that demonstrated to him that he had mastered this midah, and that's something that we should look at when we look back at our accomplishments. It's not about checking the box. I check the box, you know, the Afyayim, easy one. I check the box every day. I made a siyum, finish shas. So that's an easy one. You checked every box. But what about the day when you came off the plane and you didn't feel like learning, and you opened up your Gemara and you barely broke your teeth through the daf, and it didn't really make sense to you? And that day you're going to say, that's not the day I want you to remember me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember the day when I finished Shas. But God's going to say, no, that was your greatest accomplishment. You had such a Yetzer Hara, you were so tired, everything was telling you, had all the excuses in the world, and you broke your teeth, and you didn't even learn Pshat properly, but you broke your teeth. That is your greatest spiritual accomplishment. And so the things that we look back on and we look down upon could actually be our greatest spiritual accomplishments in our lifetime.